Praise the Lord, church. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. I shall fear no evil. God is with us. Amen. Thank you, choir. That song just confirms my message tonight. Amen. I want to talk about fearing no evil. Glory to God. Amen. Mark chapter 4, if you would open your Bible to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. You know, the parables in the Bible are really worth more than just reading, but really dissecting them and seeing what you can pull out of them. You know, just like any scripture in the Bible, if you go too fast, you may miss some things. Amen. But God's got a lot of nuggets in there. If you take just a little bit of time and slow down and read, and God will talk to you and show you how it applies to our lives. But Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "In the same day when the even was coming, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What an awesome God. Yeah. Amen. Do you believe he can do that in your life? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray that God's will would be done tonight, that he would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, we're thankful, God, for what has already happened in this place, Lord. The worship, the singing, the praising to a God that has redeemed our souls. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God. You've been precious in all of our lives, God, and we long for the day that we can see you face to face and forevermore. God, touch this message. Let it accomplish what it must. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. But there is also a godly reverencing fear. Amen. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, we find out that the wise people feared God. The foolish people did not so much. It was a type of fear that you reverenced and you were in awe with the presence of God and who he was. And early on, even in Deuteronomy, God, in chapter 10, verse 12, said, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Is he worthy? Amen. Let me read a few verses that speak about this fearing God and reverencing him, because we're the church body. And I believe we cannot lose sight of that. We got to be able to walk into this place and knowing that we're walking into the presence of God. Amen. This isn't Target. This isn't Walmart. This is the house of God. God's here. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 14, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14 and 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 16, 6, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Job 28, 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 33 and 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 111 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalm 25 and 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You want to know the secrets of God? Fear him. Amen. Psalm 86 and 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 34 and 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Luke chapter 1, verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And even Jesus spoke of it in Matthew chapter 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The church also was raised in the fear of God. Amen. I want to read, in case there's a visitor or a guest tonight, I want to read you Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and a few verses to follow. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a reason why we're baptized. There's a name we use when we're baptized. Amen. And there's a promise of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Amen. You want signs and wonders? We got to put God up in an awe-type, reverencing fear. God, what would you have me to do? Amen. Saul hauled people to prison and to death. But in the book of Acts, Saul was converted to Paul. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 9, or verse 11, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified because of this, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. Amen. I love God. Amen. I was taught as a young child to, you know, come into the church, even though there wasn't truth, it was the house of God, and we treated it such. And we need to do the same. Amen. There's an order in the house of God that Paul taught, you know, and when we come up to the altar and we come up for prayer, we're talking to him. Amen. But the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And there's blessings in it. The world just doesn't get it. It looks like weakness to bow before God and to be humbled and to say, God, I love you. Would you touch me? Would you do this, God? Would you watch over my family, Lord? Amen. And not realizing how much strength is in those prayers because you humbled yourself before him. Where the rest of the world, manhood is like, you don't do that. But if you want blessings, amen. This fear or reverence to God is life-giving, and it'll keep us saved. When we come into the house of God for the first time and we're filled with the Holy Ghost and we just want to line up and do what we need to do, but years can slip away and all of a sudden we start to get a little sloppy. Amen. And that's where we got to just be careful and say, you know, help me, Lord. Let me see you as God, the creator of all things. Amen. Ezekiel 36 and 26, it was prophesied that a new heart also will I give you and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. God has this ability to reach into places man cannot reach. Into your heart, into your mind. Change your heart, change your mind. And you'll never want to touch those things that you used to touch. Amen. And all that fearing God is awesome and needful. We've got to have it. But there's another fear that can creep into our lives that we don't want. We don't need. Its source is not of God. And tonight I want to talk about that fear. Because man has this nature about him. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are some things you can become fearful over. And we've learned this even as in our youngest of ages. Maybe it was the time you got on that school bus for the first time. And you realized, even though you were looking forward to school, mom and dad weren't there anymore. That one day, the first day, and fear sets in. But we grow out of that a little bit. And maybe we haven't touched fear until we get older. And all of a sudden we realize as we get older, things can come in pretty quick, like the fear of losing a family member due to death or sickness, a fear of a divorce, a fear of some issue with your health, a fear of a lost job or lost business or financial bankruptcy. You're good one day, everything's fine, but then the next day, something happens, and it's as if fear is standing right before you. It wasn't there before, but he's there now. And all of a sudden, we are taken back, and we have this feeling of helplessness. If we are not careful and if we are not aligned with God, we can fall into this trap, thinking we're strong. But our adversary has tricks. And if we're not staying close to God during our time of waiting on him to come back for us, these times that fear can creep into our lives can be overwhelming. What is it about fear that it just can't leave us well enough alone? It seems to want to grip us, grip our heart, change our attitude, to latch on and to hang on as long as we permit it. Fear that causes us to take our eyes off the Lord and onto the issues that stand right in front of us. In our text, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it was Jesus that said, let's get in the boat and let's pass over unto the other side. You know, Jesus said, look, I'm getting in this ship. and I'm going over there, period. Now, if Jesus says he's going to do something, it's going to happen. Now, these guys are kind of young, though. They've got a lot to learn. And to Jesus, if there's a storm, it's not going to stop him from getting to the other side. Amen. This was going to be a big test for the disciples. It was a test they probably really did not want to enter into. It was a test that they will remember for the rest of their lives. But when Jesus says he's going to do something, it's going to happen. You know, we heard God in the gifts of the Spirit, was it Wednesday night, telling us what he was doing? A lot of times we can think it's the world doing this and so-and-so doing that in this country or that. And then we find out God's doing it all along. Amen. He's doing things out in the world, and at the same time, he's working on the church. Amen. And his blessings, he's telling us, are in the house of God. Amen. So if Jesus is in the house of God, that's where I want to be. Amen. We understand that if God be for us, who can be against us? This is why we pray for his will to be done. You know, there was a man, Jairus, that, you know, the account in the Bible in Mark chapter 5, his daughter was dying. And he runs to Jesus and tells him, if you just would lay your hands on my daughter, she would be healed. And Jesus says, okay, I'll come. But during the process of time, the woman with an issue of blood stops Jesus and spends time with him, and she is healed. But then a man from the synagogue comes and tells Jairus, you know, your daughter has now passed. She's dead. And he said, don't bother the master. But Jesus listened to him speak to Jairus, and Jesus came up and told him, be not afraid, but only believe. Now I could understand what was Jesus going to do that would have changed if my daughter's already dead, but he still went with Jesus to his house to show Jesus his daughter. And inside the house, they were already mourning for her. And Jesus cast them all out when he said, she's not dead, but she's only asleep. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. But we know the story, how Jesus laid his hands upon her and she was made alive again. Amen. That's our God. Fear is like that voice that would rather laugh at us than help us. Amen? It's like a bully on the playground that kicks you when you're down. You're already feeling bad. You don't have the answer, but it's as if fear is there saying, too bad, too late. Now what you're going to do? It goes on in our text of Mark chapter 4, verse 36. It says, and when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in their ship. And there were also some other smaller ships there. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? This is when fear has dominance over you. You're at that point where you're trying everything. You start to question God. Don't you care? Don't you care, God? We're trying everything we can to spoon this water out of this boat. and you're sleeping there? Don't you care? But when fear has got a grip on you, your emotions can take you for a ride. It never should happen that we would question God or lash out at Him. But when we're allowed to let fear fester so long in our lives, sometimes we just snap. What's the use mentality? It's as if God's sleeping. I've got this problem, and I don't understand how to get out of it. God, are you sleeping? God, don't you care? I've been serving you for so long, and it's just a mess. After all, Lord, it was you that told us to get in the ship, and now look where I am. And we go on and on with these mental gymnastics, sinking further and further. And fear causes you to see God smaller and smaller, your problems becoming overwhelmingly large, and we continue to lash out. Maybe in our minds we're like, God, help. Why? Carest not that I perish, Lord? I don't recall the disciples really raising their voice at any other time than Jesus. I don't know if their voices were raised, but it sounds like it probably could have been, just to get over the sound of the water hitting the boat. Frustrated. These are fishermen that have been on the water their lives. This is a storm they've never encountered before. These guys are going to die. That's what they're thinking. But our attitude, when we go through these trials, we can start to make excuses of why we don't need to show up at a prayer meeting, why we don't need to make all the services in church, because the adversary is whispering in your ear saying, well, if he really cared. But we only hurt ourselves when we allow this fear to fester within us. You see, we can't trust our heart. We know that according to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searched the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Verse 39 says in Mark chapter 4 that he arose. Jesus rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Two questions I need to ask myself if I come into a storm and I question God. Why am I so fearful? How is it that I have no faith? I believe there are going to be storms tailor-made just for me. Amen. Right from the office of the Lord. Something that I'll need to go through. Something to make me all grown up. But if we consider the storm and these fishermen, and they were fishermen all their lives, and this was the storm of all storms, it seemed. It seemed to come out of nowhere. Just like last week when I'm home sleeping and I get tornado warnings at 2 a.m. Came out of nowhere, came so fast. I was actually praying that lightning wouldn't strike my house. But I understand a storm can come so fast and be so destructive, and high winds, and everything's good when you go to sleep. But only hours later, things move in so fast. And just like our lives, things can move in so fast. But these were seasoned sailors of the water. But to them that night, in their mind, they were going to die. And maybe anger set in because Jesus was sleeping on a pillow and they were going to die. So they lash out. Master, don't you care that we perish? You ever been there before? Maybe some of us have. Things come against us, against our family. We didn't want it. We didn't ask for it. We didn't sign up for it. But there it is. But what really kind of struck me strange was this. If anybody had an excuse for lashing out at the Lord and accusing him of not caring, I guess these guys kind of got a little bit of, you know, sauce. They're going to die. Surely this would be an opportune time that Jesus could have said, you know, guys, I understand. You know, sorry, I was asleep. I understand why you didn't have faith. You know, obviously the storm got a hold of you. I get it. You're going to die. Thanks for waking me up. I get it. But he didn't say that. It was as if he rebuked them. I've never really went through something so horrific that I thought I was going to die. I'm just being honest. I don't think I was going to die. If I was, I don't know anything about it. But I've never been in a situation where I would have let or could have let my emotions take a hold of me to such a degree and understand what they were going through. But even so, they didn't have an excuse for how they acted. Which tells me, no matter what comes my way in my life, how bad it is, I have no excuse to lash out to God and to accuse him that he has not been faithful to me. I've got no excuse to be full of fear when I serve such a big God. Because what I'm telling him is that he really doesn't know me, he doesn't understand me, he doesn't love me, and he doesn't know what's going on. And to me, that's not much of a God. So if Jesus didn't give these guys a break, I don't think he'd give me a break. And it goes in line with being in awe with him, that I would not accuse him of being careless with my life because it wasn't going in the right direction at this time. So do you still want to be a Christian? Amen. These are just some of the rules. I didn't know about all of them when I signed up. But I'm learning some of them. Amen. And I'm not leaving. If that's what it is, that's what it is. Amen. But sometimes we think because we make a good enough excuse that maybe even some people will buy it, we think God will buy it. Amen. Well, the story sounds good. I see what you're going through. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, why God would do things like that in your life. You know, and we get this pat on the back from people, and we accept it. And then for some reason, we think God buys off on it. I'm not thinking he does. When I read this story, I'm thinking, you know what, these guys have a really good case here. So I must be careful. when things aren't going right, and when fear wants to get a hold of me, it can't be God's fault. We've got to be big enough to say, Lord, what's going on here? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to dump the fear. I know it may not be easy, but it's not something we can do on our own either. We've got to get built up in the Holy Ghost. We got to stay prayed up, read up, and whatever we can do to fill our spiritual tank, because it's not always going to be rose gardens. We know things are going to come our way that we'd rather they don't. And we know that when they do come, we have to be ready for them. 1 Peter 5 and 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I know it's hard. It might be very hard. Have you ever had your parents tell you there's no excuse? There's no excuse for that behavior, young man or young woman. And to some degree, there's no excuse for bad behavior on our part if we're not trusting God through all things. You know, maybe the storm wouldn't last so long if we could just do our best to search out scriptures and find out what we should be doing to alleviate this thing. God, if you're talking to me, what can I do? What can I find out that this storm can just go down the road? Have you got a pastor? That's a fair question. You might be sitting here tonight, but I'm going to ask you again, do you have a pastor that you could walk up to and say, hi, pastor, I'm having a problem. What do you think? Why fight the storm by yourself when there's so many people here that have been through storms? God talks to, God ministers through, and we don't spend 2 minutes to ask them for advice. Amen? He's a pastor for a reason. If we're not sure what to do while we're in the storm, ask for help. Let him be your mentor. Let him guide you. Let him say, well, this is what the Bible says. This is what I think you should do. I will pray for you. You know, sometimes when you're in that storm, you need somebody that's on that outside looking in and say, you know what, I know you've been fighting this, but you know the Bible says. And then you'll be like, yeah, I never thought of that. Church, we're a body. We've got to use each other. But the tough question is, why am I so fearful? What's causing me to mistrust God? But if you're going to be victorious in the battles, you're going to have to put in some work. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We've got to be faithful to hear the word of God. It takes extra effort to get to church. It takes extra effort to read the word of God and to pray and to seek him. But the rewards, man, the rewards, it keeps you out of traps. It keeps you going in the right direction. Man, I don't like trouble in my life. You know, I want to go way around it. But take time to build yourself up rather than be defeated. When Joshua took the men, the Israelites, into the promised land, God told him that you're going to have to be courageous once you cross and once you go in. He said, be strong, be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Whew. I know the Bible doesn't sound interesting to some of us, but I guarantee if you will take your flesh, sit down, open it up, start reading it. It is the book that has life within it. It'll begin to talk to you. You will start to enjoy it. I promise you, you will like it. It's like medicine. I shouldn't say that. I don't know about all this medicine stuff, but amen. But it's our strength. We've got to meditate on something. But we can't meditate on something if there's nothing up there. But we got to take time to build ourselves up. And strength does not come without some action. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. He cares for you. He's not sleeping on that pillow, as you think. He cares. He cares more than you care. You see, we can't hold fear and faith together. In the last verse of our text, it said, after Jesus calmed the storm, that they were in awe of him. They feared, this is a different fear, they were in awe of him exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? See, God wants to exchange our fearfulness into awe of him. And through life's troubles and victories, through Jesus, we see his provisions and his incredible abilities to calm the storms in our own life. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Boy, if that doesn't sound like Satan, that doesn't sound like the devil just trying to grab your heart and torment you by using fear. But we know better. We know we should be in the house of God. We know we got to get the hands up. We know we got to worship God. We know we got to read. We know we got to be in his presence. Because if we're not, our adversary is going to use that tool against us. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And it continues on and says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And he says, nay. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded, church? That neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Fear can be so crafty. In fact, it may not even be a large storm in your life, but Satan can use just little bits of fear in you, like when they open up an altar and you don't want to move. When you know you should be baptized, but you don't want to move. When you know you should be desiring the Holy Ghost, but you're afraid. You don't know what family will say. You don't know. And these voices can attack. But we're just going to have to trust God. When Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" And he said, "Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you." In other words, the Spirit of God revealed unto Simon Peter who Jesus really was standing before him. And then Jesus says, "And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," or this revelation that you just got of the oneness of God, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. Amen. We have the power and the strength of God on our side. But we know the tricks that Satan would use to try to take us out one by one. And one of them is fear. Fear that this might happen or that may happen, and we start to possibly lash out against God and mistrust God. And all the while, he's the only one who can calm the storm. Amen. Amen. If the musicians would come. You know, they played this song, which was my last verse here, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. If you'd stand, Pastor, if you'd come.
Thank you, Brother Moran, for that message. Awesome. Two things that Jesus said is, so why are you fearful and why don't you have any faith? Fear destroys your faith. And without faith, you can't do anything. So the enemy would want you to be fearful of everything. But you realize that boat situation has happened to each and every one of us, because when it happens, it creates faith in our life so we can do great exploits. I was thinking as he was speaking, the next time Peter's in a boat, he decides to get out, even though there's a storm, and walk on water. Well, how would that have happened except he saw Jesus calm the water? You know, faith rose up in him, and he believed. He had faith. I can do that. The same thing is true for each and every one of us. As we go through these little storms and little situations in our life, it builds up a measure of faith in us that we can handle something more and more and more. Fear not. The first thing Jesus said after he was resurrected to his disciples, fear not. Amen. Because we're such fearful. I keep telling my wife, I want to get some fainting goats. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they're goats that if you just clap your hands, they just fall over. There's something within them that all of their muscles just stiffen up and they fall over. And then they get up again. And not that I want to see, you know, goats fall over, but we sometimes are fainting sheep. You know, something happens in our life. We're paralyzed, we fall over. You know, call for the rescue. Amen. Great message, Brother Moran. Hallelujah. Would you come? Would you come?